Justin Stoney, is the founder of New York Vocal Coaching, an internationally recognized voice teacher, author of Sing Like Never Before, and host of the show Voice Lessons to the World. He's worked with celebrity clients, achieved number one hits on Billboard, and trained singers for Broadway and major music competitions. With over 30,000 voice lessons taught, he also mentors voice teachers worldwide through his training program. Justin is known for his popular vocal education shows on YouTube and as a keynote speaker in the industry. He is a member of various vocal associations and collaborates with leading voice doctors and researchers. Justin holds degrees in musical theater and English with extensive training in vocal techniques and music. He resides in New York City. It is a great honor and joy that I welcome Justin Stoney. It's his first time on the Making Musical Quantum Lives podcast. Hello, my beautiful listeners. Welcome to the Making Musical Quantum Lips podcast. And it is I, your amazing host, your favorite person, at least I think I am. And today we're still on our 30-day podcast marathon, Everything Vocal Registers, the grand finale. And I am super duper excited to welcome a very special person. At least most coaches on the Making Musical Quantum Lips community grew up on his videos and his materials. Justin is very humble, and I don't tell you the whole story of how we finally got to reach out to him and got him on the pod, but trust me, this person is, he has a beautiful soul. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Justin. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the Making Musical Quantum Leaps podcast. It is more than an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, and we're going to have a great time.
I'm so sure we will. So Justin, take us back. Tell us how you became a vocal coach. I've watched a couple of interviews you were in, and you told a story of how you became a vocal coach, how you never planned to. So I'd love for you to share that story so our listeners can learn a lot, because I did learn so much from that interview.
Yes, it's a very good story. I'm happy to tell it to you. When I first moved to New York, I was right out of college, and I came to New York to be a singer and an actor.
Okay.
And back home in my little town, you know, people would say, well, you know, if it doesn't work out for you, Justin, you could always teach. Mm. And I would say, oh, no, this person doesn't get it. I thought, those who can't do, teach.
Yeah.
And to be a teacher, that was the last thing I would ever want to do. So I came to New York saying, I'm going to be an actor and a singer. Or that's it. Yeah, I'll do something else.
Good, had a different
so plan. I was in the city for about 2 weeks only, and I was at an audition, and there's a lot of actors waiting there. And an older gentleman comes in the room, and he says, does anybody in here play the piano? And I kind of raised my hand, and he says, your son, come out here in the hall. I need to talk to you. And he said, how well do you play the piano? I said, yeah, I play pretty well. Mm. He said, do you think you can sight read? I said, yeah, I can sight read. He said, do you think you play well enough to play an audition? I said, I think I could. He gets on his phone. He's like, yeah, I got some kid here. Yeah, the kid says he can do it. Okay, we'll take the kid. He says, okay, go back, finish your audition, and then come down the hall. We need an accompanist for this audition now. Our accompanist dropped out at the last second. So I go back in the audition room, and the monitor says to me, hey, you know who that is, right? And I was like, no, I don't know who that guy is. He said, that's Barry Moss.
Wow.
He cast The Cosby Show. He cast all these movies. He cast all this Broadway. He's like, you better be ready. I thought, oh, no. So I finished my audition. I go down the hall. And actually, I am the accompanist for a Broadway audition.
That's
and all
incredible.
These big stars are coming through the door, people that I recognize. And I'm playing for these people. Remember,
wow.
I've been in New York for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got it.
So I'm playing for these people. And not only that, but they didn't know some of the music. So I had to teach them some of the music from the new show. And so here I am, just got to New York 2 weeks ago, teaching Broadway stars their music in front of one of the best casting directors in New York. And at the end of the audition, I said to Barry Moss, I said, don't pay me. Take two headshots and call me when I'm right for apart. And he laughed. He said, okay, no, I'll take the headshots. I'll pay you. But he said, look, I think you have something. You have what it takes to be a great vocal coach in New York City. I saw you working with those people. He said, you need to be a vocal coach. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the last thing I'd ever want to do. But with this miraculous experience that happened, where suddenly I'm playing for Broadway stars, right when I get to New York, you know, I listened to him and I started to be a vocal coach. And then I found out it was my life's calling and passion. So that's the story. That's how I got into teaching.
Thank you so much, Justin. That story has so much to teach. Guys, I hope you're listening. There's so much to learn from this. Opportunity has to meet you prepared, because that's exactly what happened here. Opportunity met you prepared, Justin, and it's just mind-blowing. I'm so grateful to God that he brought you there. It was a Kairos moment. He brought you there just at the right time, meeting the right people and yourself. You were prepared, and there's a whole lot of stuff to learn from there. Okay, Justin, you are so popular. You're so influential. Has anything changed? What has changed about you from before and now because of this massive growth and popularity and influence? Has anything actually changed?
Well, I hope not much, because I started off knowing that this was God's calling for me, because this was not my idea. This was God's idea. And so I just built it from a little mustard seed, thinking, okay, if God wants me to do this, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to, you know, maybe have one student or 10 students. I don't know how many students, but I'm going to serve these students. And sure enough, it did just grow and grow and grow and grow. And it has continued to grow. But what I like to try to do is stay at the heart of what God called me to do, and not sort of look at like, oh, how big is my company? How many people have we helped? How many views or whatever do we have? I try to just go back to that heart of like, did God ask me to do it? Yes. I got to follow that calling. So actually, I would say when I get the most in trouble, like spiritually or even just emotionally, is when I start to look at like, what am I doing? Like, how well am I doing? Like, look at me. That's when I'm in trouble. When I'm like, follow what God says, follow the calling, follow the path that he's laid out. That's when I'm at my best. So I guess that's the challenge that I have, is, you know, I got to continue to look to God for what I do, like it was in the beginning. And I think that's the true lesson for all of us as singers. Like, we get better and better, we improve, but we want to keep that beginner's mind. We want to keep that, like, this is my first day. This is my first practice. This is my first voice lesson. If we keep that spirit of like, I'm new to this, what can I learn today? Then we do really well. But when we start to feel like, oh, you know, I've got the voice now. You know, that's when you start to have a problem. So I try to keep my beginner's mind, we could say.
This is so beautiful, Justin. Keeping a beginner's mind, not acting as though one has arrived, has a lot of advantage. Thank you so much for that. It was really eye-opening. Thank you so much. Like, keeping a beginner's mind, approaching every class as though you just, it's the first one. Same thing for singers, same thing for coaches, approaching every class as though it's the first one. Thank you so much. Now, something happened to me recently. I was robbed and I lost a lot of stuff. I lost access to my account. I really lost a lot of stuff. It was so painful. And I almost gave up at that time. I thought I had lost passion, but something I later found out I lost was something was beginning to tamper with my joy. And every of your letter, you literally end it with joy. And it's so short, but yet so profound. I want you to tell us more about this joy. Because even your tag, mine is, we're passionate about your sound. Yours is make a joyful noise. So tell us more about this concept, this joy concept of yours, and how it relates to your coaching and to singing.
Yeah, joy is a really important word and concept to me. Like you mentioned, I sign every email, joy, comma, Justin. And my company is Make a Joyful Noise. That's the slogan for New York Vocal Coaching. That's our tagline. I have it in my business. I have it in my emails. But to me, joy is a very spiritual term, because joy is something that God gives us and that we have access to regardless of the circumstances. In other words, you could be having a great day and you feel joyful, or you could have a tragedy happen to you and there's still joy present. It's a spiritual concept where, you know, we could be feeling mentally bad, we could be feeling emotionally bad, but spiritually well. And joy is that. Joy is being spiritually well, even if you are feeling bad or thinking bad. Singing, I think, gives us joy, because we can sing and we can have the joy of singing in that same exact way. You can sing for happiness. You can sing for worship. You can sing just for the fun of it. Or you can sing when you're in pain. You can sing when there's, you know, sorrow. You can sing when there's loss. Singing transcends our feelings. And so does joy. And that's why those two things are very linked for me.
Woo! Okay. Thank you. That was a lot. I wish I could even put a break or something. Let's take that in. Let's digest that. That is so much. Listeners, you there, we're referring to you. Do not lose your joy for anything. Do not lose your joy. If you lose your joy, you lose your passion. You lose your drive. Okay. Let's get down into the kind of worms. Pandora's box. Oh, no. The vocal registers.
Oh no. That's right.
Yes, it's actually a kind of worms.
That's what it is. That's right.
Yeah. Like,
that's what it is, Pandora.
It's a topic that has caused so many arguments, so much controversy, and I've brought a lot of teachers to talk about this, and I made them all share their perspectives, and I would love for you to do the same. So we're going to define everything from scratch. Okay, we're going to define everything from scratch. So firstly, what is the chest voice? I know they probably have an idea, but what's your definition? How do you describe the chest voice?
Great, yeah. Well, chest voice would be, if you want to use the most scientific terms from today, would be our M1, which is mode one, okay? And that's really basically just how most of us speak. And if you speak in a sort of strong kind of way, like, hello, how are you? That is your M1, your chest voice. And what's going on physiologically is that the vocal folds are making thicker, deeper kind of contact, right? So we can, you know, we can thin it out. We can really thin it out, or we can thicken it up. And when the folds make a thick contact, we call that M1. Or chest voice.
You know, I'm really glad you're saying this, because we've actually explored this concept, the terms, the M0, M1, M2, M3. So it's really amazing hearing you talk about it. It's more like putting a stamp on the matter.
Exactly.
So I like, if we're looking at them from down to the top. So we are saying chest. Then there's the middle or mix. Then there's the middle or mix. There's the head voice. Then there's the whistle. But I like to see the whistle as an extension of the head. Yeah, I like to see the whistle as an extension of the head.
And well, actually, if we're starting from the bottom, it would be fry, which is M0. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Well, of course I want to talk about it.
Yes. Fry can be used in other places and in other ways as an effect, as a distortion, but it is also M0.
Well, thank you, Justin. I would love us to talk about one most debated concept, the concepts of head voice and falsetto. What is the difference? What are they?
Well, this is the debate, like you mentioned before. I mean, most commonly when those terms are used, the term head voice, when it's used for a female, we're talking about M2.
Okay.
When it's used for a male, we're actually talking about a very light M1.
Oh my.
A very light chest voice.
Wow.
And that's where a lot of our confusion comes into place, because you've got the same word, head voice, being used differently for males and females.
Yeah.
So that can be super confusing, mm-hmm. which is why many times it's nicer just to say M2.
M2, M1.
But that's where the debate and the confusion lies, right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you so much, Justin. Thank you so much. That was really eye-opening. You see the concepts, the use of M1, M2 mechanisms, the use of this concept. Do you see a time where we finally shift from using this head voice? Because, you know, we've been using this for so long now. Do you see a time where we're finally shifting from the use of these terms to beginning to use the M1, M2, and all those mechanisms for registration, vocal registers? And with the use of these mechanisms, how do you define mixed voice? How do you define that?
So
concept?
I don't really use M1 and 2 and all that with my students. I do it with the voice teachers that I train in our voice teacher training program, just so that we have really concrete terminology and we know what we're talking about. With a student, you don't even have to use head voice, chest voice, and mix. I mean, you can ask them, you know, how would you describe what you're feeling? And somebody might say, oh, that's that strong voice. Oh, that's that light floaty voice. Oh, that one feels like a blend. Like, we don't have to use any terms in particular, as long as the student knows what we're doing, what we're talking about, what they're feeling. So, you know, I don't use M1 and 2 in a voice lesson usually. But what is the mix? The mix voice is mostly M1, so chest voice, and our ability to thin that out. So, in other words, if chest voice is a thick, thick register, right? Here's my thick chest voice. Okay, great. I'm using lots of vocal fold mass right now. I could also kind of use a little bit less, but I'm still in chest voice. Or I could use a little bit less, and I'm still in chest voice. Or I could use a little bit less, and I'm still in chest voice. Or I could use a little bit less, and I'm still in chest voice. You hear all those variations. They're all still chest voice, but the first one, very, very thick. And then I can thin it out into other settings without switching to this other register. So
there is another talk of having different proportions to how we mix. So here, things like head mix, chest mix, then the mix itself. So give us a peek into this talk, this concept.
Yeah, well, I think having access to several different kinds of mixes is really the way to go. So if I have not developed any kind of mix and I go up high, something like this will probably happen.
Okay.
I'm going to switch into my M2, my falsetto.
Yeah.
If I have a very light mix, we call that a head dominant mix, I'll get something like this. And it's a very soft amount of thickness,
okay,
but it's still chest voice. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Wow.
That's my chest voice. Yeah. Interesting. Now, I want to have that. That's head dominant mix. I might want to have a 50-50 mix is what we say sometimes, which is sort of a balanced sound. So that's not too heavy, not too light.
Yeah.
Still chest voice.
Wow.
Then what we say a chest dominant mix is a little bit more power. And again, chest is chest, but it's not the thickest sound I could do. I don't want to do that one because it'll blow out the speakers. But but you hear even just those four differences. One, I switched to falsetto. Second one, I had a very small amount of thickness.
Wow.
Third one, I had more thickness. And then the fourth one, I had more thickness than that.
Yeesh.
So we want to build these sounds in every singer. We want to have falsetto. We want to have head dominant mix. 50-50 mix. Chest dominant mix, chest voice. At least that. I mean, we can do even more, of course. But if we all have access to that I just said, we can do so much with our voice.
Wow, that's amazing. This is phenomenal. This is so eye-opening. It's going to settle a lot of disputes. Thank you so much, Justin. Over to the next misconception or debatable topic. What is it built? Is it just a big shout or a healthy shout or however people define it? And there's this talk of it being able to belt only in the chest register. How true is that? Oh, there's so much to talk about in the belt region.
Right. So a belt can mean different things to different people, certainly. But if you're asking me, I think of belt as quite a complex thing, actually, because if you take chest voice up, that will become a belt. It'll be a very big sound. But we can also take chest dominant mix up, and that is going to sound belty. Or you can take 50-50 mix up, and that will sound belty. And you can take head dominant mix up, and that will sound belty too. So to me, the definition of belt is taking a vocal registration coordination higher than where it natively lives. And so it's not just one thing, it's many things. And we need to be good at all those mixed voices so that we can take them up past where they normally would go and create a belt. And I think that answers the question, is belting a kind of mix? Absolutely. There are almost no belters who don't use mix when they belt, because you would just blow out your voice so fast if all you were doing was sort of shouting. So mix is an essential element to being a good belter.
Wow, Justin. So what you're saying is, for us to have a healthy belt, there must be mixed incorporated. A healthy belt must have elements of the mix. So basically, that's the difference, a mix and the belt.
Yes.
If you must belt well, then there must be elements of mixing in it. What about the idea of belting in your head voice? Is that, I don't know. Because there's another argument that you can belt in your head voice. So what about the idea of belting in your head voice?
Well, I don't know about that second one. I don't know that I would say that you can belt in your head voice. That's debatable. When people belt in their head voice, we will call that a reinforced falsetto, or you might say reinforced head voice. Some people will classify that as a belt. Others would not.
Aha, you said it. Another thing I want to talk about, reinforced falsetto, what is it? That's another point of argument. What is reinforced falsetto? What's the difference between the reinforced falsetto and the head voice, a powerful head voice?
Yeah, sure. So reinforced falsetto, if I've been sort of first up here in a, woo, here we are, I'm up in my falsetto.
falsetto. Okay, that's just great. M2 sounds great. Good for you. All right. But then
if I add adduction and twang and a high larynx, I get a yeah! kind of sound. I hear myself echoing. yeah, but you hear that. I mean, it sounds very bright and piercing and powerful in its own way. And that's what I mean. Do we call that a belt? Maybe, maybe not. But that is falsetto plus twang, high larynx, and adduction.
There you go again, Justin. You just said something else. I'm sure people would want to know what it is. So twang. I know it's something about brightness, but what is it? What is a twang?
Yeah, twang is mostly, we could say, a bright sound. So this is a dark sound. This is a normal sound. And this is a bright sound. And here I am using a lot of twang in my voice. And the twang comes from raising the larynx and sort of having a narrow space above the larynx. So it's,
you know, if you're talking like a cartoon voice like that, like a twang voice, you'll really feel
your larynx raise and your throat kind of close a bit.
And that's the source of twang.
And it sounds kind of funny when we just are talking about it, but singers do use it to really brighten the voice in lots of cases.
Returning to our question, yep. What's the difference between the reinforced falsetto and a powerful head voice?
When we say powerful head voice, are we talking about the female head voice, like M2?
Oh my God, here we go again. All right, yeah, the female voice.
I know.
Head, M2, yeah.
Yeah, female M2. Well, so yeah, there is a difference, not in terms of the register, it's the same register, but in how the register is used. So I could do a very bright, high larynxed M2, and again, that's a,
yeah, hey,
that sort of sound. I could still be in my M2 with a lower larynx and a rounder shape, that sort of thing. And it is powerful, but it sounds in one case more, we could say, like rock, and in the second one, more like classical. So again, they're both M2, but one of them is very bright, and then one of them is more dark.
Thank you so much, Justin. Thank you for clearing that out. So I want to ask for, I'm sure many of them have walked into your studio asking you to help them out. I'm talking about teen. I'm talking about people who have just gone through puberty and their voices have been broken or affected by puberty. How do we help such people, or how do those people make their journey at that point, their musical, how do we help them on their musical journey at that point in time, that point in their lives?
Yeah, awesome. So with a teen male voice, there are two things that we have to do first before we get into the breaking that is happening. The first thing that we have to do is make sure that their falsetto is great. And a lot of times teen males get kind of shy about going up into their falsetto. They have trouble doing it and they're shy about doing it, but they absolutely have to do it because that is your flexibility. That is your stretch. So we have to have that stretching. So all teen males, we need them to do things like, you know, and really get up into the falsetto, make it great. The next thing we have to do with all teen males is lower the larynx, because in the teen years, the larynx wants to squeeze the sound out so desperately when the body's changing. So we have to have some like deep deep larynx, like mum, 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 and watch out for mum, 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 mum. The larynx want to go up, mum, 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 keep it down. So those two things we're going to be doing all the time to make sure that we're building the stretch and that the larynx is behaving. From there, how do we fix the break? We need compression exercises, something that helps the vocal cords get solid. I would recommend something like a goog, G-U-U-G, goog, like a deep goog, goog, goog sound. And we're going up, goog, 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 goog. And when that teenager wants to go goog, 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 whoops, goog, 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 it's breaking. We use that G, goog, 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 to get the strength.
Well, guys, I'm afraid we'd have to stop here because this episode is very lengthy. So I just want you to anticipate the part two. The part two with Justin Stoney is going to be really amazing. Like, I couldn't stop this conversation. It was just getting more interesting and more interesting. I'm sure you learned a lot. So let's anticipate the part two. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. For the 10th time, if you have not subscribed, if you have not followed us, if you've not subscribed on YouTube or followed us on Spotify, please do. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Please do. It will really help us out because I do not have to, it will mean I do not have to be sharing links every time. Every time I post a new, I publish a new episode, you are able to have access to it and just listen even without getting the link. You'd be notified. So please subscribe. Please follow us on every listening platform, whatever listening platform you're listening from, please follow. All right, it's bye from me and see you on the next episode of the Making Musical Quantum Leaps podcast. I love you and I am forever passionate about your sound.